Place your bets, you jack wagons. Brett, the Big Noise Evans here with a rapid fire edition of the Fade 5 podcast. I'm rolling solo today, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be following my buddy Nate Lundy and all of his piping hot sports betting takes. Make sure you check him out at Nate Lundy on X. Let's go in and get after it, me amigos, as we got the Sweet 16 on the immediate horizon. So we got to fire off some bets, and what better way to do it than hopping aboard the Hong Kong Plus bus. Plus 100 odds or greater is the requirement. And looking at some of those juicy markets, one bet that I'm really high on, let's flex our degenerate chop, shall we? St. John's, the Johnnies, going against the Dukies, baby, in a race to 15. For those of you that may be unfamiliar with this market, all it means is who scores 15 points first. And, yeah, I saw that juice. I immediately got sucked in by it. I rolled the shoulders because I got seduced by the juice at plus 120 there at BetMGM. Is there any rhyme or reason really to betting in this market? No. It's a complete crapshoot. Who's going to start off the game hottest? And I say St. John's will. I don't think Caleb Foster is going to be able to go. Even if he does, you know, he's got accumulated rust and dust. He's got to kick that off, which means the guard play of Duke is going to be highly suspect and one against one of the better pressure defenses in all of college basketball. The Johnnies, like in the last game, start making it rain from outside early and often. They could grab that early lead. So at plus 120 for St. John's to score the first 15 points in its Sweet 16 matchup against Duke, I'm in. Yeah, and I'm entirely a sicko. With that bet on the board, it's time to get after it with another Sweet 16 edition of the Fade 5. All right, numero cinco here on the countdown. Let's go with and the Arkansas Razorbacks taking on the number one seed, Arizona, in the West region. And I'm going to go with the Razorbacks there, the plus 7.5 against AZ at a minus 110 there at BetMGM. I think Arkansas is going to be highly competitive. No, I don't believe they're going to win this game. I have Arizona in my analytical bracket because I've already rolled and smoked the gut bracket at Florida winning that one. Boy, was I wrong. But the analytical bracket has all Final Four teams still alive, and including the Arizona Wildcats. So I have them reaching the Circle City in Indianapolis. But I think Arkansas will stay within somewhat of a striking distance in this game because they have the best point guard, I believe, in the entire NCAA tournament, and really could argue entirely in college basketball. That's Darius Acuff, who has been unstoppable so far in this college basketball tournament. He's already gone for 20 plus in one game and 30 plus in the other, combined for 13 dimes as well. And you look at Arkansas as a collective over the last month, they're number 21 in tempo, so they like to vroom vroom rev the engine. Number 32 in effective field goal percentage. Offense, defense a little lacking at 184 in EFG defense over that span. But again, they're shooting 44.9%. Let me repeat that, 44.9% from along the arc, because they can, you know, just unload along that perimeter. As good as Arizona is defensively, and they're number 27 in effective field goal percentage defense in the month of March. Hell, they're giving up just 29.9% from way downtown over that stretch. And this Arizona has a distinct advantage in the interior there with Karchinkov and Krivas and Awaka. Those guys really crash the glass. I think Arizona's got the best starting five in college basketball. But Arkansas, because, again, they can open up the skies from outside, they will find a way to govern. So give me the Razorbacks plus 7.5 against AZ at a minus 110. Numero cuatro, mi amigos, here in this rapid-fire edition of the Fade 5 podcast. I'm going to go with Iowa State, the Cyclones, are going to blow through Rick Barnes, the Tennessee Volunteers. Only the 3.5. This line has come down there at BetMGM at tape time at a minus 110. And we don't know the status of Joshua Jefferson at tape time. I think he's highly iffy. I think he's going to be lucky to play. He was training in the right direction, according to John Rothstein, and his report, progressing, was the exact word that Rothstein reported Iowa State telling him. That doesn't mean jack nor squat. With or without Jefferson, though, I think Iowa State is the better team here. Really connected group. Outstanding and veteran-laden starting five. They have one of the best, if not the best, three-point shooters in all of college basketball in Milan Momcilovic. And on top of that, got strong guard play there with Lipsy. They really crash a glass. And that pressure defense of ISU is one of the best in college basketball. You don't believe me? Well, here's the evidence to back it up. In the month of March, they have forced an opponent turnover on 24.5% of opponent possessions. At Tennessee, they don't really have any turnover problems right now, but in the regular season, that was a bit of an eyesore. Scoring the rock, a bit of an eyesore, though. The Tennessee Volunteers, the best second chance team in the remaining NCAA tournament field. They're getting an offensive rebound on over 44% of their possessions in their last seven games. I know Gillespie has caught fire at the guard position for VOLS in a very good and connected defense. I just like this Iowa State, one of the most balanced teams in all of college hoops. I know TJ Altzelberger, rumored maybe he's going to go to North Carolina, maybe not. We shall see. But maybe this will be his final bow in Ames. But I like Iowa State to score the cover against the Tennessee Volunteers, and that being 3.5 at a -110 at BetMGM. Numero tres here on the Sweet 16 edition of the Fade at 5 podcast. All that's at the keg. The Sparty party is about to rage. Give me them straight up on the money line against the UConn Huskies at a +110. Amy's today's man of juice there at BetMGM. You look at Michigan State, according to Bartorvik, games played the month of March are slightly ahead of UConn in overall efficiency at number 11, UConn at number 16 in that category. MSU obviously having some defensive issues. They're number 295 in effective field goal percentage defense, but they're top 20 in effective field goal percentage offense. And you look at UConn, their strength right now is on the defensive end, as they're number 42 in EFG defense in the month of March, but only number 150 in EFG offense. Will Carabin, Will Mullins, will Terrace Reed show up and show out? And that's the key, that last player in Terrace Reed. No, he's not going to go for 31 and 27 like he did earlier in this NCAA tournament. Michigan State bludgeoned you on the boards. And we're the best offensive rebounding teams in the tournament. We're the best defensive rebounding teams in the tournament as well, with Cooper and Kohler down low. They have one of the best point guards in the entire game, and Jeremy Fears. Yes, he is a filthy, nasty, dirty player with some of those leg kicks to the junk on occasion, but one of the best distributors around, a supreme court vision, to say the least. And a team you look as well in Michigan State, shooting extraordinarily well from outside, 42.3%, as a matter of fact, in their last seven, though defensively, they've given up quite a few triples, giving up 39.2 three-point percentage during that same span. So, you know, I could favor Carabin. You know, what version of Solo Ball are we going to see? Who the hell knows? I don't trust UConn. I think Danny Hurley is really going to get his boxer shorts in a bunch in this game. I think Michigan State and Tom Izzo, Fascismo Izzo, the better team, the hotter team, the more balanced team, despite some of the defensive woes. The Sparty party, tap that keg, baby. It powers on. I think Michigan State reaches the Elite Eight and knocks out the number two seed and the UConn Huskies. Kennels them here in the Sweet 16. Friendly reminder, folks, you want more of my Sweet 16 takes? Go to my free site, thegamingjuice.com. You can ask me a question, click Ask Brad, and fire that off. All of my free betting picks live there on the spreadsheet. Same with Lundy's as well. Check out all his plays. And don't worry, I will be firing off some Major League Baseball action after the NCAA tournament is over. Typically, I don't really grab some tickets on the rawhide until I get about 2 to 3 weeks worth of data. I got to see how these lineups are really shaking out, how the starting pitchers are looking early on. And a lot of those restrictions on the starting pitchers also will start to
be lifted as we get later on into April. So I will have some plays in that sport. So be patient, my babies. Be patient. But in the meantime, you can lock and load or fade or follow. It's entirely up to you. All of my action in the world of college basketball. I have some more articles on the NCAA tournament out as well. My Sweet 16 article right now, the full preview with a numerous slew of picks live right now on the site. And folks, you get it all for free. Where? At thegamingjuice.com. Click, converse, and cash. Dot, dot, dot. Maybe. Numero dos here on the Sweet 16 edition of the Fade 5 podcast. Plug your ears. I-L-L. I didn't get dressed up for nothing, folks. Wearing my orange and blue. And yeah, I'm a nervous Nelly. I'm an absolute train wreck on the inside right now as I'm preparing mentally. And, hope, you know, as soon as the radio show BetMGM tonight is done, I will imbibe to help quell the nerves physically in the Sweet 16 match, but it might be the best matchup of any of the games, taking on Houston and somebody rocking, knocking the boots, H-Town. A lot of people feel that Houston has a distinct advantage because they're, quote-unquote, at home, not playing at Fertitta. Obviously, they're going to be playing at the Toyota Center where the Rockets normally play. But Illinois fans travel. You know, Brad Underwood said, I don't give two rips about where this game is played. That's exactly what he said, because Illini Nation will show up. He's not wrong. And the other key factor of this game, folks, Iowa-Nebraska is the game before this one. Big Ten fans usually support other Big Ten schools. So, you know, win or lose, I think Hawkeyes and Cornhusker fans, and they're going to be numerous, will fill the stands, and they're going to be pulling for the ILL along with the orange and blue in attendance. So it could be like a 70-30 split pro-Illinois to the Houston Cougars contingency, and that may play a factor. It could be a true road environment for the home team, unbelievably, in this one. Tremendous matchup for Illinois. They really, you know, play to the strengths of Houston in a positive way. Illinois does not turn the ball over. Illinois is the longest team in the country, really crashes the glass, and Houston is highly contingent, not only on turnovers, but on second chances, third chances, those offensive rebounds. And Illinois, too, is a team that doesn't draw a lot of whistles. And that's what Houston relies on, getting to the free throw line and making it pay and a death by a thousand paper cuts. So, again, you know, Illinois checking the boxes of all the strengths of Houston and may be able to mitigate a lot of that action. And Houston entirely prone to long and just, you know, exhaustive droughts offensively. Don't believe me? Well, in the month of March, they're outside the top 100 in effective field goal percentage offense. So they are top 25 in effective field goal percentage defense. You look at Illinois, 69, nice, in EFG offense here in the month of March, and 63. Very balanced in EFG defense over the same span. So as long as Illinois crashes the glass, waxes that glass, doesn't cough up the rock, Keaton Vogler, obviously exceptional with the ball handles, and same with Kylan Boswell. And they're, you know, they move the ball around extraordinarily well, rotating around the perimeter. If those threes fall, Illinois is going to win. Not in convincing fashion. I feel this one is going to be within 5 points, and Illinois has really struggled in late game situations and scenarios this year. They have very rarely slammed the door, but for some sick, demented, and maybe polluted reason in my brain, because the orange and blue is pumping through the veins, I say the ILL gets the win straight up, like I'm on the money line, plus 136 there at FanDuel. Numero dos here on the countdown, and numero on the Sweet 16 edition of the Fade 5. Give me the Johnnies. Plus 6.5 against the Dukies, baby. Again, I like him in the race to 15 points market at plus money. This one at a minus 110 at DraftKings. Duke has kind of sleptwalking the first couple of matchups. I know they blew the doors off at TCU, but it was over like the last 5 to 8 minutes of that game. TCU was highly competitive throughout. Siena, obviously highly competitive throughout. We'll see if Caleb Foster suits up. I think it's a snowball's chance, and you know what, that he does. And, you know, if they don't have the strong guard play, if they don't shackle the rock, St. John's will have a field day living in transition and getting a lot of those key turnovers. St. John's with the best rebounding teams in college basketball, and so is Duke because of Cam Boozer. But St. John's is relentless in their defensive attack, challenging everything, whether inside the arc, out, or outside of it. It all comes down to whether or not St. John's and that offense can play like it did in the round of 32. And I certainly think that is entirely there on the table, that they're outside the top 250 in effective field goal percentage offense over last month, though the Johnnies number 35 EFGD over that span. Duke, by the way, 88 in EFG offense, 28 in EFGD over that stretch. I just think 6.5 is too many. I've got Duke moving on, but if there is a major upset in the Sweet 16, it will likely be in this game. Call me a coward for not taking the Johnnies on the money line, but that plus 6.5 is just too enticing to ignore. All right, before I get out of here, it's bonus time, bonus time. And let's go ahead and start off with that team. It's parlay play and a five-legger. Not going to give any reasons why I like this. Just got to fire off on the bets. Purdue, money line. It just disappeared on me because there's a timer for some reason on it. And we're back. Purdue, money line. Arizona, money line. Michigan, money line. Iowa State, money line. All those teams got to do is win straight up. And I'll go to the alt market and take Nebraska plus 4.5. I think that Nebraska-Iowa game is going to come down to a final possession as the two regular season matches. One went overtime. The other one was an absolute rock fight. That one's going to be a war. So again, five-legger, Purdue money line, Arizona money line, Michigan money line, Iowa State money line, Nebraska plus 4.5, plus 331 at Caesars with the boost, with the kiss. I absolutely love that parlay. Available on my spreadsheet as well. If you're listening to the podcast and not seeing the YouTube edition of it, I can always get the full bet there. Elsewhere, bonus time, bonus time. I'll lay the 1.5 with Nebraska. I think they win that by a bucket. That one's going to be a sweaty, to say the least. Give me Alabama plus 10.5. I'll take Alabama in the race to 15. Complete crapshoot, but they could start off hot. I know they're not going to have Aiden Holloway against mighty Michigan, but that's a team that lives and dies by the three. I pray they live by the three. By the way, Michigan giving up 35.9%. along the arc in the month of March. And I think I've covered pretty much everything, every single game. Oh, Texas Purdue. I forgot about that one. I'll take the over as well. 148.5. And again, I believe Boiler Up is going to get the victory. All right. I am out of breath and out of time here on this quick hitting edition of the Fade 5 podcast. Do us a favor, would you kindly drop us a rating and a review at your convenience. Also, fade to follow us on the X or the Twitter. Lundy at Nate and Lundy, myself at Noisy Huevos. Probably going to do a couple of more of these before we bid adieu on the season. We'll be back for football as we take some time off. Good luck in all of your bets. And as always, until next time, feed or follow that is up to you. ILL. Damn it, I'm nervous. Pour me a tequila.